Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about allergic rhinitis. And if you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/allergicrhinitis or in the immunology section of the Zero to Finals pediatrics book. So let's get straight into it. Allergic rhinitis is a condition caused by an IgE-mediated type 1 hypersensitivity reaction. Environmental allergens cause an allergic inflammatory response in the nasal mucosa in the nose. It's very common and it can have a significant impact on sleep, mood, hobbies, work and school performance as well as quality of life. Allergic rhinitis may be seasonal, for example with hay fever, perennial, meaning year-round, for example with house dust mite allergy, or occupational, associated with school or work environments. So how does it present? Allergic rhinitis typically causes a runny, blocked and itchy nose, sneezing, and itchy red and swollen eyes. Allergic rhinitis is associated with a personal or a family history of other allergic conditions, which is what we call atopy. Atopic conditions are things like eczema, allergies, and asthma. There are a few triggers to be aware of for allergic rhinitis, and it's worth taking a detailed history to see if you can identify the triggers for the patient's symptoms. Tree pollen or grass allergy will lead to seasonal symptoms, which we call hay fever. House dust mites can lead to persistent symptoms of allergic rhinitis, often worse in dusty rooms and at nighttime. Pillows can be full of house dust mites and trigger allergies. Pets can lead to persistent symptoms when the pet or their hair, skin, or saliva is present in the environment. And other allergens may lead to symptoms after exposure, for example, mold. So how do we manage it? Well, the first step is avoiding the trigger for the allergic rhinitis. Hoovering and changing pillows regularly and allowing good ventilation of the home can help with house dust mite allergy. Staying indoors during high pollen counts can help with hay fever symptoms. Minimizing contact with pets is also important where these are the cause of the symptoms. Oral antihistamines can be taken prior to exposure to reduce the allergic symptoms. Non-sedating antihistamines include cetirizine, loratadine, and fexofenadine. And sedating antihistamines include chlorphenamine or promethazine. Nasal corticosteroid sprays such as fluticasone and mometasone can be taken regularly to suppress the local allergic symptoms. Nasal antihistamines may be a good option for rapid onset symptoms in response to a trigger. Referral to an immunologist may be necessary if symptoms are still unmanageable. Finally, let's talk about nasal steroid spray technique. The aim when you're administering a nasal spray is to get a good coating throughout the nasal passage. Hold the spray in the left hand when you're spraying into the right nostril and vice versa. The aim is to spray slightly outwards, away from the nasal septum. It's important not to sniff at the same time as spraying, as this sends the mist straight to the back of the throat. The patient should not experience any taste of the spray in the back of the throat, and if they do, it means the spray has gone too far. Thanks for listening to this episode on allergic rhinitis. A big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. You can find written notes on all the episodes in the podcast in the Zero to Finals books, which are available on Amazon, and you can find full audiobook versions of the books on Audible. And you can find notes, videos, illustrations, and questions on the Zero to Finals website at zerotofinals.com. And I hope you tune in for the next episode where we'll go through cow's milk protein allergy.